This is Audible.
Queen in Lingerie. Written by Penelope Skye. Narrated by Michael Ferraiolo and Samantha Cook. Chapter 1. Conway. My rage lasted for 2 days. I was pissed about everything. I was pissed she fucked up our relationship by admitting her feelings so publicly. I was angry she accused me of loving her in return, and I was particularly livid about that final comment she made to me, that my parents would be disappointed in me. She knew exactly how to push my buttons. In my fury, I banished her from my home. I didn't want her in my bed anymore. I didn't want her presence in the house at all. I wanted to wipe away any evidence she'd ever been there at all. I wanted her gone. I wanted her memory forgotten. I didn't love her, and I warned her not to love me. Now the world thought we were happy together, that I was in love with this woman when it was all a lie. I hadn't gone into my bedroom since she left. I stayed in a guest bedroom using the clothes Dante picked up for me at the store. Everything I wore was new, and it was a much better alternative to walking inside that horrific room. I would have asked Dante to clean it up and remove any evidence that she'd been there, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. On the third day, my rage finally started to plummet. The exhaustion from not sleeping was getting to me, and the hunger in my stomach was making me weak. I finally had to eat something and sleep. Once I woke up, I was a new man, and I could think clearly. Was she okay? It was the first thought that came to my mind. My men had tried to give her $300,000 in cash, but she threw it across the lawn and sped off into the night. She didn't have any money, not even a cent. Unless she sold the car, she had no way of paying for anything. Fuck. I hoped she sold the car. I tried to convince myself that kicking her out was the smart thing to do. Our relationship was dead the second she made that confession, and we would never be what we once were. I had to get rid of her and move on with my life. But I couldn't stop worrying about her. It was a cruel place out there. Was she all right? Did Knuckles make a move the second she was no longer under my protection? What the fuck was I thinking when I kicked her out in the middle of the night? Fuck! By the fourth day, I couldn't take it anymore. I caved and called her. But the phone didn't ring. It didn't even go to voicemail. The number didn't exist. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Now I couldn't even trace her. What did that mean? Did she ditch the phone so I could never call her again? Or did someone take her and destroy the phone so I couldn't track her down? What if someone had tied her up? Oh, I couldn't breathe. I called the number again, in the hope it was just a mistake. But it did the exact same thing. Fuck. A few days later, Dante knocked on my office door.
"I'm sorry to bother you, sir."
"I'm not hungry." Dante had been trying to get me to eat, but I didn't have an appetite. I just kept drinking. I sat at my desk with my hands covering my face, stuck in the mental torture I forced upon myself.
"There is someone here returning the car you loaned to Sapphire. I just thought you might want to know."
My head snapped up and my hands dropped. "Right now?"
"Yes."
I jumped out of my seat and sprinted 3 flights of stairs until I sped through the entryway into the outside. The red Ferrari was there, shiny and sleek like it had been washed. 2 men were walking back to a blacked-out car to prepare to leave.
"Wait!"
I caught up with them before they could get into the car.
"Where is she? Who are you?"
I got in the man's face, ready to kill him if he had laid a hand on Muse.
"Who?"
he asked.
"I'm just dropping off the car."
"Who told you to drop off the car?"
He shrugged.
"That's a confidential. I'm just paid to do what I'm told."
My heart was slamming against my ribs. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them broke from the force my heart was exerting.
Who do you work for? Who the fuck paid you?
He raised both hands and stepped back.
Man, I'm just a courier service, so when a people move or whatever, they ask us to return their shit. The keys were at the office when I got to work, and I was told to drop the car off at this address. That's all I know.
I finally let him go, feeling the relief in my chest. If it was Knuckles or someone else, they wouldn't return my car, they would keep it. Muse obviously wanted me to have it back when she no longer needed it, and if it were Knuckles, he would leave a note. He would want me to know he had her. The men drove away. I stood in the roundabout with my hands on my hips, still terrified by the turn of events. I'd let my anger get to me, and now I found myself in a worse situation than I was in before. I could pretend I didn't give a damn about her, but that wasn't true. I did care about her, and I had to know she was okay. I had to.
Chapter 2. Sapphire. New York was exactly the same as it was before. Overcrowded, polluted, and loud. I couldn't see anything in the distance because there was always a building in the way. Direct sunlight was impossible to feel because the skyscrapers cast shadows everywhere. But it was home. Andrew lived in a large penthouse with his wife and two sons. At 10,000 square feet, it was a mansion at the top of the building. It wasn't a three-story Italian villa, but it was still a dream house. Decorated fabulously by a professional, it definitely felt like a home for his family. It must have cost him over $50 million to own a piece of real estate like that. He was nice enough to let me stay there since I had nowhere else to go. He offered to give me money, but I refused to take anything unless it was a paycheck, wages for work I had done. So in the meantime, I was staying with him. I had a private bedroom with my own bathroom, and his two sons were hardly ever home because they were both in private school. When they weren't studying, they were participating in their other academic activities. His wife was involved in their education, so she joined her two sons everywhere. I was home alone most of the time. My floor-to-ceiling windows gave a wonderful view of the city, but whenever I looked outside, I was always disappointed there were no golden fields to stare at. There were no vineyards or ancient castles. There was no breeze. The windows were sealed in place, so I couldn't even crack them open. The two places couldn't be more different. When I arrived in America, my phone stopped working, so I tossed it in the garbage. Andrew got me a new one, so I carried that with me everywhere I went. I wondered if Conway would ever call me and realize I didn't have that phone anymore. I'd like to believe he would, but maybe he wouldn't. I had his car returned to him when I left. I didn't want to leave it on the side of the road for someone to steal. I wanted to make sure when I left, I didn't take anything of his with me. The clothes in my bag were all paid for by him, but leaving those behind wouldn't make much of a statement. I still proved I didn't need him. A week had come and gone, and I was finally used to the time change. When I went to sleep, Conway woke up, and when he went to sleep, my day was already started. We pretty much lived on different planets at this point. Now I could move on and forget about him. Forget about the only man I've ever loved. My first. I was still crying over him every night, still living with the deep pain in my chest from his rejection. Who knew confessing my true feelings would drive him away like that? A part of me wished I'd never said anything to begin with. I'd still be sleeping with him. I'd still be happy. But now, I had to move on and start over. I had to say goodbye to Vanessa and the rest of the Varsettis. I had to say goodbye to the love of my life. Andrew gave me a week to get back on my feet before he put me to work. He took me to his studio the following day, a large skyscraper in Manhattan. I used to pass by the building every single day on my way to work, and I never thought I would actually be able to walk inside. His studio was much bigger than Conway's, covered in lighter tones like blue and white. It was commercialized, reminding me of something I'd seen in a fashion catalog. Conway surrounded himself in masculine colors, painting the area around him to match his dark mood. I needed to stop comparing the two designers. Andrew showed me around the facility, introduced me to the other models, and then escorted me into his office.
"Let's get down to business, shall we?"
I crossed my legs and looked at him over the desk, seeing the city behind him. It was overcast with thick rain clouds, but according to the weather, it wasn't supposed to rain until tomorrow. Fall had arrived in New York far sooner than it arrived in Italy. "Sure." He was a man in his 40s with kindness in his eyes. He brought his hands together on the desk in front of me. He was nothing like Conway. He was transparent, polite, and easy to talk to. He didn't possess the intensity Conway did. Perhaps that was why the designers had such different levels of success. Conway was a young man at the peak of his sexual exploration. He was bedding all kinds of women, experiencing new things constantly. But Andrew was happily married to the same woman he'd been with for 20 years. He was a father of two boys, making him a family man. But Conway was right after all. Marrying me would only destroy his inspiration.
"All right," Andrew said. "The last offer I extended was $300 million. I'm willing to keep that amount, but I have a few terms."
I told him Conway and I had gone our separate ways, so I expected him to lower the price, since I didn't have any other options. The fact that he didn't made me respect him, made me see him as a nice guy.
"What are they?" "This is a 10-year commitment. You model for me and no one else."
That was more than fair.
"All right. The 10-year contract will cover the full amount I've offered. So, for the first year, you would receive $30 million.
That was more than enough. I couldn't even grasp what it would be like to have that kind of money.
"I'll pay that up front. That way you can get properly settled. In the event that you break this contract, you'll have to return everything I've paid you, plus a 20% fee. Your responsibilities include participation in the fashion shows and lots of photographs. You're going to be my biggest model, so expect to see your face plastered everywhere. If all those terms are agreeable to you, we can add our signatures."
He was more than generous, and I could commit to those responsibilities. I wouldn't be able to eat as much anymore, but it was a necessary sacrifice.
"That's fair."
"All right." He grabbed a pen and pushed the contract toward me.
"Sign and date here."
I hesitated before I filled it out, missing Conway as I stared at the contract. I used to be his muse, the inspiration for everything he made. But then he turned his back on me, treated me like I'd done something unforgivable simply by loving him. He hurt me so much, and I was grateful I got something out of the ordeal. It wasn't the career I wanted, but it was a career that would pay the bills. I signed it.
"Great." Andrew added his name. "Welcome to Lady Lingerie. We're happy to have you, Sapphire."
Chapter 3. Conway. Another week went by. My waistline was slimmer and my sleep was even worse. I didn't get any work done. Not because my inspiration was no longer around, but because I was so worried about her. My muse. I needed to know if she was all right. In my heart, I believed she was. But I needed to see it with my own eyes. I needed to hear her tell me she was okay. I knew my pain wasn't from missing her. It was simply from the protectiveness ingrained in my mind. But her phone never came back online, and none of my guys had seen her in Milan or anywhere else. I was combing the streets looking for her. But I was trying to be discreet about it because if I announced that Muse was missing, Knuckles would see it as a perfect opportunity to snatch her, if he didn't already have her. When I got desperate enough, I called Carter. We met at Club Lingerie in the middle of the day. There was hardly anyone there, so we sat at the bar and ordered round after round. He turned on his stool and stared at me, looking at my full beard with pity. I want to ask what's wrong, but I already know. You do, huh? I asked before I downed more scotch.
You ditched her.
No, I did something worse than that.
What the fuck are you thinking? So what if the woman loves you? You should feel like a king hearing a woman like that pledge her undying love for you on camera. Even if you don't feel the same way, which I doubt.
I dragged my hand down my face.
Con, if you want her back, just tell her. She'll give you another chance.
It's more complicated than that.
How?
I told him the story, up until the point where she had my car returned. Carter wore a look of pure shock.
You kicked her out of your house when she doesn't have a dollar on her?
I gave her $300,000, but she didn't take it.
Still, you're a fucking asshole.
I didn't argue with him. I know.
And the fact that she didn't take it makes her a class act. Don't you get it, Con? She's never wanted you for your money or your cars. She wants you for you. How many rich men can say that about their women?
I understood I was lucky. I never doubted that for a second.
You need to fix this before it's too late.
I can't.
Why?
It hurt to say the words out loud. I can't find her.
You can find anyone.
I've tried and failed. That's why I'm here with you. I need your help. He breathed in his cigar and let the smoke escape through his nostrils.
My help?
Yes.
Your dad would be the best person to turn to.
When Muse said my parents would be disappointed in me, she hit a nerve. It hurt because it was true. I'm not asking him for help unless I absolutely have to.
Why?
You think I want him to know about all this? I snapped. The story won't make sense unless I tell him everything. And he already has a pretty low opinion of me right now, and I'm ready to dig my own grave.
All right.
Carter finally let it go.
We should check the airlines first. She may have been able to buy a ticket in cash or on someone else's card. But she can't lie on the manifest. She's from New York, right?
Yeah, but I don't think she would go there. She really loves Italy.
But she doesn't have any money, so what else would she do?
He asked.
I can have my guys check the listings. What's her last name?
I drank the rest of my glass. He pulled out his phone to take the note.
Con?
I closed my eyes before I said it. I don't know. Carter's look was even more incredulous.
You're shitting me.
When we first met, she wouldn't tell me her last name. She was running from Knuckles and the feds.
And you didn't think to ask her later, in all the months you were fucking her.
I wanted to slam the glass over his head.
I don't know her last name, all right? Let it go. Con, this is going to make it a million times harder.
Just check the damn flights and see if there's anyone named Sapphire on there. I was going on little sleep and nearly no food, so my patience was at an all-time low. The stress was eating me alive.
All right, I'll try, he said. But passengers are organized by last name, so we may not find anything.
We'll figure out what to do then. I waved the bartender over and demanded a refill. When my glass was full, I took another drink. Carter stared at me for a while. I felt his gaze on my profile.
Whatever you have to say, I don't want to listen to it. Yeah, you're probably right, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I sighed.
Sapphire called me the night she left.
I slowly turned to him, caught off guard.
Why? She wanted to know why you were being so cold to her, so I told her. In the beginning, she was confused. She didn't believe me because she was so confident that you loved her too.
She'd told me the same thing.
And then she started crying. She hid it pretty well, but I could hear it.
As if someone punched me in the stomach, I felt winded.
You broke this woman's heart, man. And that would be fine if you didn't love her. But it's obvious you do. Is that really such a bad thing?
I told her. I didn't want marriage and shit.
Doesn't change the fact that you love her. She didn't ask you to marry her. All she said was she loved you.
But you know where it would lead.
And maybe if you gave it some time, you might have actually liked the idea. But you flipped out and fucked it up before you even gave it a chance.
Carter, when have we ever talked about this shit? I snapped. Now you're talking about love like you know things when you don't know anything.
You're right, he said calmly. I don't know a lot of things. But I know when a man loves a woman, and you love her. I just hope by the time we find her, that she still loves you, or loves you enough to forgive you for what you did.
Chapter 4. Sapphire. With my first paycheck, I bought a condo. I paid for it in cash. That way I would never have to worry if I could afford it or not. It wasn't super fancy like Andrew's place, but it was a nice unit with 2,500 square feet. It had a great view of the park, it was close to the gym, and it was walking distance to the Lady Lingerie building. I couldn't ask for anything better. Independence was invigorating. I didn't have to rely on anyone for anything, and I missed that feeling. It had been difficult to become dependent on Conway, but once I did, it felt nice. But then he flipped on me and kicked me out on my ass. And I realized how weak I was. Now, I wasn't weak anymore. I had food on the table, property, and money in the bank. It wasn't a villa in Italy, and living alone was extremely lonely. I wore Conway's t-shirts every night because I needed them like a security blanket. A part of me hoped he would come for me, that he would realize he couldn't live without me, that he loved me. It hurt so much to say those words and not have him say it back. It hurt to see how angry my love made him. It turned a perfect man into a raging monster. The idea of being happy and in love with a woman was really that repulsive to him. It killed me. I stood in the heels Andrew gave me, the pumps silver and sparkling. They were painful like any other shoes I wore, but I had to tough it out. I was getting paid enough for the discomfort. I dropped my robe and stood in the silver lingerie Andrew had me try on. He sat in the red armchair, looking at me like he wasn't impressed. I straightened my shoulders even more, perfecting my posture the way Conway taught me. But Andrew didn't react.
What do you think?
About what? I asked.
About this bodysuit. What would make it better?
I looked at my reflection in the mirror. The bodysuit was simple, skin-tight with a bow at the top. It didn't have a lot of texture to it, and it seemed overly boring.
I have no idea. It looks nice to me. What would Conway do?
The question was immediately unwelcome. It made me think it was a cut into my brain, an investigation into what I knew about Conway. I'd seen him design his pieces regularly, but I had no idea what happened in his mind. And even if I did, I would never stoop that low. Even though he turned out to be an asshole who broke my heart, he still treated me right. I had to honor that. I have no idea. His pieces are pretty simple, too. You really have no recommendations, he asked. I just modeled the lingerie, Andrew. Conway didn't include me in the design process. But he used you as inspiration, yes? Yes, I said. But again, I don't know how. Andrew turned back to his sketchbook and made a few marks. He looked up at me from time to time. This piece needs a lot more work, but when I'm done, I'd like to photograph you for an ad spread in Vogue. Would that be all right? I wasn't paid to say no. Of course. Great. Give me a few more days, and I'll get back to you. I stared at my phone when I was home. I kept expecting Conway's number to appear on the screen. Was he thinking about me? Did he ever think about me? Had he already fucked someone else by now? I couldn't let my thoughts go there. Not if I didn't want to drown in misery. I allowed myself a glass of wine after my meager dinner of a piece of salmon and veggies. Now I was expected to remain a certain size, so my favorite meals were no longer available. With Conway, he never cared about my waistline. He didn't treat me differently at my heaviest or my thinnest. I sat on the hardwood floor in front of the floor-to-ceiling window. My wine glass was beside me, and I wore Conway's black t-shirt. It was loose on my arms and my waist, and it stretched all the way down to my knees. I stared at the city lights that surrounded the park. It was a beautiful view, but it didn't compare to the one I saw on that hilltop with Conway. Verona looked beautiful under the sunlight, absolutely stunning. He showed me so many beautiful things. I wondered what his life was like now. Did he throw away all my belongings? Was he sleeping in the bed we shared together? It had been 2 weeks since the last time we'd made love. Did he miss being between my legs? Did he miss it as much as I did? Did he have any regrets about the way we left things? All I had to do was call him to find out. But what if he didn't have any regrets? What if he hadn't thought about me once since I left? What if he was annoyed that I called him? How would I ever recover from that? The risk was too great, so I chickened out. When Andrew finished designing the piece, I wore it for the photo shoot. It was my first one. I had no experience at all, so I tried to pretend I was on the runway. I focused on my posture and my presence. I didn't smile because Conway told me I should never smile when I was on camera. He told me to be sexy, even though that advice wasn't necessarily helpful. I lay back on a bed, the purple comforter and pillow contrasting against the silver lingerie I wore. The photographer moved my hair in different ways, making sure the lighting hit me just right. This was different from the runway, because this was a single moment in time that was being captured. It would be in magazines all over the world, and there was no doubt Andrew would have it on billboards, too. I was about to be in the spotlight again. I just wondered how long it would take Conway to notice. And if he did notice, would he care?
Chapter 5. Conway. After 3 weeks, I couldn't avoid it anymore. I had to go back into my bedroom. I hadn't stepped inside since Muse had vacated the premises. She could have looted some of my stuff for all I knew, even though she never would. I held my breath as I walked inside, expecting complete destruction. She had been in such a hurry she might have knocked things over as she stormed out. She was pissed, so she might have shattered the TV and tipped the table over. But the sitting room was exactly the same. I moved across the room to the bedroom. Once I stepped over the threshold, I saw the chaos. The closet doors were still open, and a lot of her dresses had fallen off their hangers and onto the floor. Her drawer was pulled open, and most of her panties were gone. I stepped farther into the room, seeing the piles on the bed that she left behind. She probably meant to take them with her, but she didn't have room in her bag. It was a shame, because I bought her the most gorgeous clothes money could buy. But she had to leave them behind because I threw her out. I noticed the champagne dress with the diamonds along the straps. It was beautiful, and I found it odd that it was sitting on the ground, directly underneath my dresser. When my eyes moved up, I noticed my drawer was still slightly open. It was where I kept my t-shirts, a drawer that Muse used just as much as I did. I opened it and looked inside. Half of my shirts were missing. She took them. Despite what I did, she still wanted a piece of me, and she left one of her favorite dresses behind to make sure she had room for them. This was exactly why I hadn't wanted to come in here, because I knew I would feel like this, like shit. I sat at the foot of the bed and rested my elbows on my knees. My hands cupped my skull and I breathed through the ferocity, breathed through my regret. The last 6 months of our relationship had been erased in a single night. Because of me. My phone vibrated in my pocket, and I pulled it out to see Carter's name on the screen. I answered it. Tell me some good news. Well, actually, I do have some good news, but I have some pretty shitty news, too. I closed my eyes and rubbed my skull. I want the bad news first, but only if that means she's all right. If she's not all right, just don't say anything. I can't bear it. I'd never been this scared to face the truth. But I'd never cared about something so much that it made me this vulnerable. All right, I haven't found her, but I know she's okay. I released the breath I was holding. Thank fucking God. Well, what's the bad news? Now I could handle anything he said. He sighed into the phone. You aren't going to like it. Just tell me, Carter. Well, she's modeling for Andrew Lexington now. I heard the words loud and clear, but my brain didn't work as quickly as my ears. Well, how do you know this? Because I found a picture of a photo shoot she did for him. You're sure it's her? There's no mistake, man. And if I were you, I wouldn't look at it. A jolt of jealousy and possessiveness rocked through me, making my jaw clench so hard my teeth almost shattered. This was the one time I would take his advice. And that means she must be in New York. But you didn't see her on any of the flights. Yeah, I'm not sure how that happened. Must be because of her last name. It had only been 3 weeks since she left, and she already managed to make a deal with one of my competitors. How did he find her that quickly? Or did she go to him? Are you going to call him? That was a dead end. He tried to get a hold of her a few months ago, but I wouldn't put him through. If I call, he won't help me. Too bad you burned that bridge. I had been too possessive of her at the time, and I should have stayed possessive of her. She must be in New York. I know where his office is, so I should be able to wait outside until she walks in. You're just going to ambush her? He asked. You got a better idea, asshole? I countered. Hey, I'm trying to help you here, asshole, he snapped. I say you have someone tail her and find out where she lives. Show up there. That way you have some privacy to talk. Talking outside lady lingerie isn't going to get you far. Yeah, you're probably right. When are you heading out, then? It was already 1 in the morning, but I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight anyway. Right now. You want me to come with you? I knew he would tag along to be supportive, but he had other things to worry about. No, I'll handle this alone. All right. Good luck, man. Thanks for all your help. No matter how stupid I was, I knew I could always turn to Carter to help me out. No problem, but Conway, if you're lucky enough to get her to listen to you, don't fuck it up again. You may not get another chance. Last time I was in New York, Muse was my date to my biggest fashion show. Everyone looked at how beautiful she was, how stunning she was on my arm. She was my woman at the time, the woman I took back to my hotel and made love to. She was the only woman I ever made love to. Now I was back, but this time she wasn't with me. It was evening when I arrived, so I got some rest and showered the next morning. My PI was ready to follow her once she made her move, and he got me the details I wanted to know by the end of the day. She lived across the street from Central Park, in a building that was for homeowners only, which meant she bought some real estate, and that also meant Andrew was paying her well. But he'd better only be paying her for her work in front of the camera, and nothing else. After she finished her day of work, she went to the gym down the street, so I waited outside her condo door for her, waiting for the time to trickle by until she returned. I wasn't even sure what I was going to say to her when I saw her. I'm sorry? Could I really apologize after being the biggest dick on the planet? Would an apology mean something to this woman who was kicked out on her ass? If I apologized 100 times, would it ever erase my stupid decision? She shouldn't forgive me. She shouldn't have loved me in the first place. An hour later, her footsteps sounded around the corner. I knew it was her before she was visible because I recognized her footfalls. After living with her for months, I knew all the small details about her. Even the way her small feet hit the hardwood as she moved. I knew the quiet sighs she would make when she was about to fall asleep. I knew the way she always touched her hair when she looked in the mirror, slightly self-conscious about her appearance. She rounded the corner in black leggings and a tight T-shirt. Her long hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and her face was slightly flushed from the workout she'd just had. She didn't wear any makeup, and that highlighted her perfect complexion. Her eyes were focused on her hands as she moved her keys around until she found the right one. She didn't notice me until she almost bumped into me. The keys fell to the floor, making a loud rattle once metal hit wood. She inhaled a quick breath in surprise, her hand still extended where her keys should be. Based on her large eyes and the pure shock on her face, I was the last thing she expected to see when she rounded the corner. My eyes took in her face, seeing the perfect skin without any hint of a bruise. She wore expensive workout clothes, and her hair was properly taken care of. She looked healthy and glowing, no sign of trauma or abuse. I was so fucking relieved. She held my gaze, the surprise slowly fading away and annoyance taking over. Now she was angry with me, livid, after the way we left things. As she should be.
What do you want, Conway?
Cold, malicious, and angry, she didn't hold back. I blocked the door so she couldn't dart inside and slam it in my face. Can I come in? She bent down and picked up her keys. Her eyebrows furrowed in displeasure.
I don't want my neighbors to hate me, so that's probably a good idea.
She unlocked the door, then stepped inside. I could have let myself into her apartment and waited for her to return, but I didn't want to piss her off the second she saw me. She was already pissed off enough. I stepped inside her place and saw the elegant decor she had. It reminded me of my house in Italy, and I wondered if she did that on purpose. There was a nice living room, a full kitchen, and a dining room. The hallway turned to the left, and I suspected it led to several different bedrooms.
You have a nice place.
She'd done very well for herself in only 3 weeks. I shouldn't have underestimated her.
Thanks.
She set her bag down and dropped her keys into the bowl. She turned around and faced me, her arms crossed over her chest. She didn't look at me with the affectionate gaze she used to have. She didn't rake her eyes over my body with lust. Now she stared at me like I was nothing but a nuisance.
What do you want, Conway?
I slid my hands into the pockets of my jeans and admired her trim body. She was beautiful, perfect like she was when she left my home. With her pretty eyes glued to my face, I didn't know where to start. I've been trying to call you for a while. Her arms tightened, and her gaze remained as cold as ever.
It didn't work here, so I got rid of it.
I gave a slight nod. I was really worried about you. I searched everywhere for you.
If you were that worried, maybe you shouldn't have thrown me out in the middle of the night.
She didn't raise her voice, but her clipped tone showed her heavy resentment. I didn't have a comeback for that, because she was totally right. My temper peaked and I lost control of my faculties. You're right. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I could take it back.
You can't, Conway. There are some things you can't take back. That's one of them.
I closed my eyes for a moment, her anger burning me all the way down to the bone. I didn't have a rebuttal because there was nothing that could justify my behavior. It didn't matter how pissed I had been. I want you to know I'm sorry. Even if that means nothing to you, I haven't slept much because I've been so terrified that something happened to you. I had all my guys combing the streets for you. My life has been flipped upside down. The rare times that I could sleep, I had nightmares that Knuckles got you. If you think I've just returned to my former life, I haven't. I've done nothing but suffer this entire time. Her eyes shifted to the floor. I asked Carter to help me find you. He saw your photo in Vogue. That's how I tracked you down here. She still didn't give a reaction. I glanced around the apartment again. Andrew is treating you well.
Yes,
she said coldly.
He hasn't made me his prisoner.
I deserved that.
He offered me $300 million for a 10-year contract.
Even I had to react to a sum like that. My eyes dilated and my pulse quickened.
So I'll pay you back for saving me from Knuckles. I don't want to owe you anything.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
I'd pay that money again in a heartbeat to keep her safe. I won't take it, so don't bother. We're square. She shifted her weight to one leg, still closed off from me. I like your place.
Thanks.
Now our conversation came to a halt. It was tense and awkward, and there wasn't much to say. This woman was such an important part of my life, and now she was a stranger. She used to share my bed with me every single night. Now my big bed felt even bigger than before. She lowered her arms to her sides and sighed.
Now that you know I'm all right, you should go. We both have important lives to return to.
I'd said what I wanted to say, and now I had no business being there. But I didn't want to move. I wanted to stare at her face forever. I didn't want to return to my mansion in Italy, not when I was the only one to enjoy it. She looked at me, her disappointment obvious.
Go.
Instead of walking to the door, I walked up to her. I stopped when our faces were close together. When she didn't take a step back, I knew there was something still between us. I'm miserable without you. She took a deep breath and held it, her beautiful eyes slightly glossy. I hate what I did. I don't want you to think you don't mean anything to me, because that's not true. These past 3 weeks have been some of the worst of my life, if not the worst. My hands moved to her hips, and when she didn't resist me, I felt a surge of hope in my chest. I lost my temper, and I shouldn't have treated you that way. It was stupid, really fucking stupid. I pressed my forehead against hers. She let me touch her. She rested her arms on mine. Her breathing quickened. I thought I would forget about her the second she was off my property, but I'd thought about her more when she was gone than when she was around. My chest felt hollow because all my joy had been stripped away. I felt lost, like I would never find happiness ever again. Now that she was in my arms again, I felt better. Please forgive me, Muse. She closed her eyes when I said her nickname, the name I always should have been calling her. There was no reason the name Sapphire should have escaped to my mouth. It didn't even sound right on my tongue. I felt repulsive saying it out loud.
Conway, I don't care about giving you my forgiveness.
My hand slid into her hair, and I cupped her cheek, my thumb brushing across the soft skin. I missed touching her this way, missed feeling her warmth. I hadn't gotten laid in almost a month, and while I missed the sex, I missed this a lot more, the intimacy. She was the only woman I showed any vulnerability with. She was the only woman who had earned my kiss.
All I want is for you to tell me you love me.
Her eyes lifted up to meet my gaze.
To forget that horrific night and just start over. I don't want to forgive you because I'd rather forget.
She held my gaze as she waited for me to say the words, for me to echo the love that was in her heart. My thumb stopped brushing against her cheek, and I held my breath as I stared at her. She had every part of me, all of my thoughts, my emotions, and my body. I didn't want to share my bed with anyone else, but I didn't want to commit to a life I'd told her I didn't want.
I told you I would never marry you. Did I ask you to marry me?
She whispered.
I just want to love you, and have you love me in return. The future is blurry and uncertain, but that's how it's supposed to be. Anything can happen. The door is always open to potential. And you should never close it. Closing off possibilities is only a disservice to yourself.
My hand slowly slid down to her neck, her wisdom striking me hard.
Do you really not love me, Conway? Or do you just not want to?
My hand moved to her shoulder, then slid down her arm. The backs of my forefingers brushed against her soft skin. The farther I moved, the colder I felt. When my hand pulled away entirely, it was like stepping into the Arctic. I want exactly what we had before. I want to give you all of me, and I want to take all of you. I want us to live together in that beautiful mansion and make beautiful lingerie together. I want it to stay that way until it's run its course. I don't know where I'll be in 5 or 10 years, and whether I tell you I love you or not, it doesn't make a difference. Even if I did say it, that doesn't mean I won't leave you. Because one day I will, and I would never mislead you about my intentions. Her eyes stayed the same, but the moisture on the surface slightly deepened. She didn't frown or take a deep breath. As a prideful woman, she held her stance of power.
I'm not ashamed to tell you that I love you, that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I don't care about your yacht in Greece or the beautiful clothes you buy me. I want to sleep every night with you beside me, to listen to your deep breathing while you dream. I want to be pregnant with your son or daughter, to become your wife in a pretty white dress. I want to be your inspiration always. No matter how much my body changes or how I age, I want us to be together forever, to be buried underneath the same tombstone. I can say all of that without shame, even as you look at me with rejection, because it's real. And I can't settle for some of you. I can't love you with my whole heart if you won't do the same. As much as I love you, I know I deserve better.
She released a quiet sigh, her eyes welling up further.
I'll never forget our time together. You changed my life in so many good ways. I'll never forget the way the Italian sun feels against my skin. The way you sat across from me on the terrace when we had breakfast every morning. I'll never forget our nights together. How you took me when I was innocent and made me into a woman. I have a lot of happy memories, but that's all you'll ever be, a memory. One day I'll meet someone else and fall in love again. I'll get married and have children, and there will always be a slight pain, because you aren't the man I'm married to. But in time, those memories will fade, and maybe one day, I'll forget them altogether.
When she blinked, two tears streaked down her cheeks. It killed me to see them. She rose on her tiptoes and cupped my face before she placed a kiss on my mouth. It was slow and soft, slightly salty from her tears. She breathed with me, feeling my upper lip between hers. She slowly pulled away, her eyes wet and red.
"Goodbye, Conway."
Muse didn't need me. She was rich and safe, living in a great apartment in a safe building. From what I heard, Andrew was happily married and a well-known family man. When he wasn't working, he was seen with his two sons at baseball practice and academic decathlon. But even the happiest man could succumb to temptation when a woman like Muse was around. Walking out of her apartment was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I wanted to keep kissing her and guide her into the bedroom so I could make love to her one last time, but that would only make it harder on both of us. So I took my plane back to Italy. I left her behind. I slept on the plane, which was the longest amount of time I'd slept since she left. Now that I knew she was okay, saw it with my own eyes, I could finally relax. I returned to Verona and walked into the home I bought almost 10 years ago. When I bought it, I knew it was big for just a single man, but the previous owner needed to sell the house quickly because he'd lost his company. He gave me an unbelievable deal, so I moved into the enormous mansion. Dante greeted me when I walked inside.
"Hello, sir. How was your trip?"
I wasn't in the mood for small talk. "Fine, but I'm not hungry now. I'll take dinner in a few hours."
"Of course."
He walked with me to the stairs.
"Sir?"
"Yes, Dante."
"I hate to ask, but will Mrs. Sapphire be returning?"
I stopped at the bottom stair and gripped the rail of the staircase. The question annoyed me, but I couldn't blame him for wondering. "No." Dante gave a slight nod, but there was no hiding the disappointment in his eyes.
"Would you like me to remove all of her things from your bedroom?"
I didn't want to throw anything away, but I didn't want to see her clothes every time I opened my closet. I didn't want to see her panties in my dresser. I didn't want to see her old perfume in the bathroom. Everything would remind me of her, and I didn't want to be reminded of the woman who changed my life. "Yes, but don't throw it away." I didn't want to keep her things because I hoped she would come back one day. I just couldn't bear seeing her stuff thrown in the garbage.
"Of course."
He gave another nod and turned away. "Dante." He turned back around. "I didn't realize you were so fond of her." I'd never seen them interact, and he was put off when she tried to help herself in the kitchen. After that, they didn't interact very often.
"I'm not," he said. "I just know she made you happy."
Time moved so slowly. I stopped working out and spent my time in my room. It rained one day, and it was the first rain of the season. It poured on the rooftop, and the sound of the rain was loud when the Tuscan-style windows were open. I wished she could have seen it. All she'd ever known was the constant sunshine. Something about the rainfall was peaceful, even when you were forced to stay inside. I found myself thinking about her a lot, wondering what she was doing. Did she like modeling for Andrew? Were the other women treating her right? Was she getting used to New York again, or did she still miss Italy? I went to work in Milan later that week, and I didn't feel any motivation when I walked through the doors. The only reason I was there was because I didn't know what else to do with my time. I sat in the studio and stared at my sketchbook, no idea what to draw. All I could think about was the last time I saw Muse. The tears streaked down her face and her eyes were swollen and puffy. It didn't turn me on like the other times. It broke my heart. I didn't even know I had a heart until then. I was tempted to Google her, to see the multitude of images she appeared in. Not only did I want to see her face, but I wanted to see her body. I missed looking at her long legs, at her narrow waist. I wanted to drag my tongue everywhere to taste her one more time. It had been a month since she left my house, and it was the longest time I'd gone without getting laid since I hit puberty. I hadn't even jerked off, too depressed. But now the arousal was building up inside me. Instead of going out and catching tail, I wanted to be with Muse. I wanted that slow but good sex. I wanted to be skin to skin with the woman who'd only had me. I didn't want to wear a condom and fuck a woman I wouldn't remember. I stared blankly at my sketchbook. My phone rang and Carter's name appeared on the screen. I almost didn't answer it, but I knew I couldn't avoid him forever. "What's up?"
"What's up?"
he asked incredulously.
"I've never heard you say that before."
"The first time for everything, right?" He sighed.
"You sound miserable, so I assume you decided to be an idiot."
"Not an idiot, it just didn't work out."
"So what, it's over?"
Losing her was difficult, but I didn't see any other way around it. "Yes."
"And now what?"
"I move on."
"To what, exactly? You aren't going to find another woman like that."
"Maybe, maybe not." He sighed again.
"Ugh, can't. Let it go. It's done."
Carter turned quiet.
"Fine. Are you going to tell the family soon? How long do I have to keep up the charade?"
I didn't want to tell my family Muse was gone. They might respect my privacy and not ask a lot of questions, but Vanessa would be pissed. "I'm not sure. Not long. Vanessa will figure it out soon enough."
"All right. Let me know when she does."
"Okay."
"So? Is Sapphire happy? How is she?"
I was surprised Carter asked about her. He didn't spend much time with her when I was seeing her, but he obviously had a fondness for her. "She bought a pretty nice place for $3 million. It's in a safe area. She likes working for Andrew. She's obviously upset about us, but she's doing really well."
"Good for her. She stands on her own 2 feet. I admire that."
"I did too."
"I think you should think about it a little harder, Con. If you wait too long, that's it."
I'd said my goodbyes. It was time to move on.
"Let it go, Carter." "Fine. I'm officially letting it go."
I felt like a disgusting perv. I opened my laptop in bed and found her pictures everywhere. Andrew was using her for a lot of publicity, taking pride in the fact that he had the most beautiful woman in the world working for him, and Barsetti Lingerie lost her. His pieces were mediocre, but Muse picked up the slack. She made everything look gorgeous. Her long figure, so curvy and beautiful. The bras pushed her tits together and she lay on the bed, like she was waiting for me to move between her legs. I looked at everything, feeling my dick get so hard it actually hurt. I hadn't jerked off in a long time, but I was desperate. If I picked up a woman, I would just picture myself with Muse anyway. So I squirted the lotion into my hand and started to jerk myself while staring at her picture. It was nothing compared to the real thing, but it was the best I could do.
Chapter 6. Sapphire. The next 2 weeks were excruciating. It was like having all of my ribs broken after a horse kicked me. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Conway left, and it was really over. He didn't want forever, or anything close to it. He didn't want to love me. He just wanted our passionate relationship to run its course until he got bored. Then he would replace me with someone else. Marriage and kids were completely taken off the table. He couldn't stand just the possibility. I suppose this was entirely my fault. I was stupid for falling in love with him. I should have listened to his warning. Even though I still suspected he loved me, that didn't mean anything. His feelings were irrelevant because he wouldn't act on them. He was probably fucking someone else by now. Lots of women. And I was putting my heart back together.